to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Praise God. Well, it's good to see you here tonight. Your TVs are safe. Those that didn't come? Okay. Praise God. It's a joy to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. God's a good God, isn't he? He is so good, and it's just a joy always to come here to Victory to share with you and pour some things into you from the Word of God. And when Kenny was talking about how long I've been doing this, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 5 years old and in children's church. So you never, never, never do you ever take children's church for granted. Because, I mean, I gave my life to Christ when I was 5 years old in children's church. And then when I was 9 years old, I was called to preach. So I started preaching when I was nine. And tomorrow I'll be 58, even though I don't look it. But, it's been a long time since I've been doing this. But in June of this year, it's been 40 years since we've been doing missionary evangelism. And I am so honored to God that he has allowed us to go around the world to preach the gospel for 40 years. It has been an incredible ride, incredible journey, and it has been awesome. And God has given us a lot of fruit and a lot of people today that God has used us to pour into their lives that some of them are now in the ministry, pastoring churches. And we've got some friends of ours that are doctors. We've got lawyers. And born-again lawyers. That's always good, folks. Praise God. Especially when they're born again. Hallelujah. And legitimate. Love God. And so I just praise the Lord. It has been an incredible ride, an incredible journey. And today, I was talking with Angie on the phone this afternoon. And it was incredible because she had mouth surgery. My wife, Angie, had mouth surgery this past week. And her mouth's all sewed up and got stitches all in her mouth and all this. But she decided to go on to church today. And I just got back from Cuba just a few weeks ago. And we are building a house for one of our friends over there that works for our ministry. And his name is Alex Napolis. He and his wife, Eurydice. And they they've been married 12 years. And 11 of those 12 years, they have lived in a 15 by 15 room house. That was their house. It had a bed and everything. The bed just about took up the whole room. And they lived there in that house for 11 years. And I've known Alex for 6 years, but he didn't start working for us until about 4 years ago. And we'd go over to his house, and Angie and I'd sit there on the bed and talk with them. And the two of the most humblest people, love God with all their heart. Incredible, incredibly gifted and talented. Plays the violin like a virtuoso. I mean, he is phenomenal on the violin and very anointed. And God spoke to us that they were to work for us. And they didn't have anything. They had an outdoor toilet. It was an outhouse in the back of this little 15 by 15 room house. And so we gave them the money to build a little room there to have a bathroom with a toilet and sink and a shower. And then we gave them the money to buy an air conditioner. They didn't have an air conditioner. All they had was an old fan. And it took them 2 years just to find an air conditioner. Because in Cuba, believe me, there are no Walmarts. There's no Home Depots or Lowe's. You know, it's very, very hard to find things sometimes there. And God just spoke to us. And Angie and I, last year, we just felt God speak to us to build them a house. They have never complained. I've never heard one complaint come out of them about where they live, the conditions they live in. And God just spoke to us to build them a house. So we are in the process of building them a house right now. And after the hurricane took place, it was a great time to submit to the authorities over there to build this house. It's two stories. It'll be a bedroom, a bathroom, a living room, and a kitchen on the first floor. And then the second floor will be another bedroom and an office for our ministry there and another bathroom. So they will have two bathrooms. And that's always good, just in case. And to have two bathrooms. And so, but God spoke to us. And so on this last trip, we was over there. God spoke to my heart to give them $2,000 to get the project going. And so Angie and I, out of our own personal money, because we believe you can't outgive God. And there's something about the Bible says that when you give to the poor, you'll never be in want. And so that's just what I believe in. And so, you know, I said, here's $2,000. Let's start on this thing right away. And Angie and I just rejoiced. But to be honest with you, it put a little tightness on our budget, you know. And, you know, I knew I heard from God. But I said, Lord, okay, this is $2,000 that Angie and I was saving for some other things. But, you know what we need. And you are the God who is more than enough. And I believe what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. It's just the law of God. And so the reason why I said all that today, you know, I wanted Angie to come. And I know Brother Kenny and Janice wanted her to be here because they love her too. But she couldn't come. So she went to our church this morning in Powder Springs, Georgia. And she went down to the altar to get saved, I guess. I don't know. But she went down anyway. She's saved. But she got saved again, she told me. But when she was getting ready to walk away from the altar this morning, it was so beautiful. A man that we don't even know walked up to her and he said, you don't know me, but he said, I know you and your husband, your ministry and what is meaning to other people. And he said, God spoke to me last night to give you a check. And he said, but I didn't know how to get in touch with you. And he said, I had no idea you was going to be here today in church. And he said, so, but this is for you and your husband. And it was a check for $7,000. Praise God. Can you rejoice in my blessing? I don't know about you, but. So when Angie told me that this afternoon, you know, I got excited. I just, you know, I know some of you may not get excited over that. Some of you are loaded. But, you know, you got a lot of bucks. But that blessed me and praise God. But it just showed me. How big is our God? And when we were singing that, how great is our God? That really meant something to me tonight. So, because everything we got, God gave to us. Amen. We don't have a thing that didn't come from God. And so I just praise the Lord for that. And I just praise God that God is a good God. Amen. And it's just a joy to be with you. Thank you for being here tonight. I got a word for you. I'm not going to take long. And because I know you're wanting to get home and watch Dances with the Stars or America's Got Talent or something like that. And so we won't hold you long. But take your Bibles with me. And turn to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want you to listen. I believe with all my heart, and as I told you this morning, we have the hope of His coming. I believe that we are living in the last days. Now, that may not be the terminology that you know of or hear of, but I believe that we live in a generation that could very possibly see the return of Jesus Christ. And I've seen too many things happening in the world to make me not doubt that He's coming back again. Because the world is so messed up right now, it's going to take Jesus to straighten this thing out. Really, it's going to take a supernatural act of God. And so I believe we're living in the last days, and Brother Kenny and I have been talking throughout the day today about the turbulent times that we live in and the junk that's going on. But I was reading 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter this afternoon, and the verse 1, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in the last days or the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In other words, to make it clear up a little bit more, in the last days there would be a great deception going out that even some of the people of God would even be carried away with the deception. So, you know, I've been in this thing all my life. I've never known nothing else but church. But one thing that I've always tried to be is real. Is that what you see is what you get. This is it. You know, and probably you will never see me in a suit. And even if I'm in a coffin, you won't see me in a suit because Angie's going to bury me in jeans and a shirt. Just the way I've got it on. But Angie and I, we just want to be real. This is it. If you see us at Walmart, you see us at the restaurant, this is it, okay? Because I too many times we are one thing in the church and another thing outside the church. And it's put a real mark on Christians to the world because they've seen us preach one thing, sing one thing, testify one thing, but outside the church it's something completely different. But you see, I believe that God wants us to be the same. Just wherever we're at, this is it. You know, just be real. You know, I just want to be real. In fact, I asked Angie, I said, when I die, there's three words I want you to put on my tombstone. She said, what's that? And I said, I want you to put these words. He was real. And you know what Angie said? She said she's going to do that. That just thrilled me. But she did say underneath that, she's going to put in parentheses, he was not perfect. I said, okay, that's fine with me. He was not perfect. And I said, underneath that, put in parentheses again. I told you I was sick. So I said, just for the fun of it, you know. When people walk by my grave, at least they'll have a little laugh, you know, a little bit of joy. And so, you know, it's just... You know, just be real, you know. And I heard people say, well, I'm looking for the perfect church. I said, then don't join it. You'll ruin it. There's no such thing as the perfect church. Amen. There's just no such thing. It just don't exist. I was in a restaurant and I was inviting the cashier to come to some services that I was doing at a church several years ago. And I was telling her about this church and she said, oh, I don't go down there. She said, there's too many hypocrites. I said, oh, come on, one more won't hurt. And, so, there's no such thing as perfect Christians. There's no such thing as a perfect church, but I do believe we can be real. You know, that we've got our issues, we've got our problems, we deal with them in Jesus' name, and God helps us, and we go on, but we learn. But in being real, one thing that I've been praying for, Brother Kenny, in the last couple of years especially, is God, I want to be around people that are real. And I don't know about you, but today I want to know who's real and who's not. I'm tired of the phoniness. I'm tired of hypocrisy. You know, I'm just tired of all that stuff. And I said, God, who is really real? And how will I know in this age of deception who really is real and who's not? I mean, who's got the goods and who don't? I don't know about you, but I want to know because I don't want to be deceived. And you see, when people say, well, I can't be deceived. Well, there was 900 and something people followed a man to Guyana and committed mass suicide. David Koresh led a bunch of people to their death in Waco, Texas. And let me tell you something. There is a possibility you can be deceived. So don't ever say, I can never be deceived. Oh, yes, you can, if you're not careful. But in this age of deception, in which I have never seen such deception that has been let loose from the bowels of hell as there is right now. There's a spirit of deception out there, man. So I said, Lord, how do I know who's real and who's not? And you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me the answer. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is the one that said this. He said this in verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy, sound tree bears good fruit, worthy of admiration. But the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad, worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. But now, don't just stop there. Listen to what he goes on to say. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, I'm looking at this, and this is what the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit so strong. He said, you will know them by their fruits. Now, watch this. He did not say you would know them by their gifts. Watch this now. He said you will know them by their fruits, not their gifts, by their fruits. Think about what I'm just saying to you. He said, you'll know them by their fruits, not their gifts. We are moved by gifts. We are mesmerized by gifts. And Jesus said, you're not going to know somebody is mine by their gifts. You're going to know them by their fruit. And do you know, isn't it amazing that he goes on to say that in that day, many will come to him and say, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do mighty miracles in your name? Didn't we do exploits in your name? And he will look at them and say, depart from me, I didn't even know you. And I'm thinking of this, I said, well, wait a minute now. They did mighty miracles. They healed the sick, they called people out and told them things about themselves. And they did all these mighty exploits, and Jesus is going to look at them and say, I didn't even know you. I'm thinking, whoa. Now, you know as well as I do, when we see people that can do these things, we are mesmerized. Huh? But now watch this. See, I told you this morning, when you've had an experience, you're never at the mercy of a person who all they have is an argument. Traveling in 37 countries around the world, I've seen a lot of stuff. Some bizarre stuff. Some stuff. I've been harassed by witchcraft and witches and witch doctors. And you see, you don't have to know that they're even demon possessed. You can see it. You don't have to be real spiritual and say, I wonder if they got a demon. Yep, they got one. Because you can see it in their eyes, man. When they're looking at you and you're seeing those devils, because the eyes are the mirror of the soul. Whatever you got in here is going to manifest itself right through the eyes. That's why I look at people in the eyes, you know. Because that's whatever you got in here is going to be in here. I was in Africa and I was preaching with Brother Plotz and we was doing a crusade. And we went to this village and we was preaching. And I had the interpreter with me, Simon Malia, my interpreter there in Kenya. And man, we were preaching. This witch doctor jumps out of his hut, got the Cape Buffalo horns on his head, and got the, you know, his ears all garbed up. And man, he's all painted up and he's got bones hanging from every direction. And he coming out there and he starts looking at me going the ooga booga thing and marching around, dancing around the fire and throw some purple powder in it, I guess, and purple smoke come billowing up. And I stopped preaching. I looked over at Simon. I said, what's he doing? He said, he's putting a curse on you. I said, well, what's the curse? He said, you're going to die within the hour. I said, well, that gives us an hour to preach, don't it? And so, you know, that was years ago, so I'm still here. You know, praise God, it didn't work. You know, and what I want you to see is this, though. I have watched witch doctors do miracles. Folks, listen now. Hey, I'm not getting flaky on you. I've watched witch doctors levitate. And you come too late to tell me that the supernatural's not out there. I've seen too much. Because, you know, when you had an experience, I don't care if you believe it or not. I saw it. And you tell me how they did that. You tell me how a guy starts chanting and all that and levitates 8 inches off the ground and there's no strings or wires pulling him up. It's demonic. There is a supernatural demonic power. And it's very loose in those parts of the world. Very strong, very powerful. All right? And I've watched them do miracles, heal people. Because listen, if the devil can give a disease, he can also take it back. Hello? Think about that. All right, but watch this. These are people that goes before the Lord and say, didn't we do miracles? And watch this. In your name. It wasn't them that did the miracle. It was the name. Because the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And disease has to submit itself to the name. You see what I'm talking about? It's not the person that has the power. Folks, I can't heal a sore toe. I tell you, soak it in Epsom salt. That's about all I can do. I can pray for you, but it's not David George. I ain't got no power in me at all. But there is a name. That the power is in the name. Hallelujah. And every time I've watched the witches and the witch doctors and all of this come against us, I have proclaimed the name. And every time the name of Jesus and the power that's in the blood of Jesus, I have watched them crumble every time. I've never seen it fail one time. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus that every knee's got to bow. Hallelujah. Wow. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, here's people doing things and there's results. But it wasn't because of them. It's because of the name. And we got to see that. Because ain't nobody got any power other than Jesus Christ. All power has been given unto him. And what I want you to see tonight is that Jesus said, don't look at the gifts. Look at the fruit. Hallelujah. Had someone coming to me several years ago and said, hey, Dave, said, let's go hear this preacher. Said, he can call you out and tell you your name. I said, I know my name. What? I want to go. I know my name. And then we get mesmerized. Oh, my God. He knew my name. Well, you ought to know your name. Next thing you know, you're signing your house or your car over to this guy because he can call you out and tell your name. Amen. While I was in Brother Kenny's office a while ago, I was looking through his books. Because I like to do that. I don't take them. Just remember that. I'm not one of those that takes them. And if I do, I'll tell you. But I read this in the Message Bible. I don't know if any of you have ever read the Message Bible, but there's some things in the Message Bible, just some awesome stuff talks to us in our language today. And I read this of what Jesus said in the Message Bible in Matthew 7. And listen to what it says, because man, it is powerful. It says, be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off some way or other. And I love this. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Wow. See, it's one thing to be something when the little red light on the camera is on. But it's another thing to be something else when the camera is turned off. Because, listen to me, charisma is what you appear to be. Character is what you really are. Character is when the light is turned off. Character is when you're with your family and nobody else is watching. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, watch this now. Watch this. He says, who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. These diseased trees with their bad apples are going to be chopped down and burned. Now watch this. This was great. Knowing the correct word, the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment. Thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Pretty good stuff, huh? Praise God. I like that. And see, this is what the Lord is saying today, is you look and you see the fruit of the man or the woman. Don't be impressed with their gifts. Just because you speak in tongues doesn't even mean you're spiritual. Hello? I believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I practice it. I believe in it. But just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean you're spiritual. Because you see, once again, I've been raised in this thing all my life. I've seen people, Christians, come to church and praise the Lord and go outside the church and bash one another. And I said, well, wait a minute, that ain't spiritual. That's not God. That's the reason why we've turned off the world out there, because they have seen us preach one thing and live the opposite outside the church. The world's got to see the fruit, folks. Not the gifts. I mean, they know pretty much what this church stands for. And they know that, you know, this is a charismatic church and the gifts of the Spirit in operation and all that. But that's not what's going to move the world out there. What's going to move the world out there is when you go into a restaurant or you go somewhere and they see Jesus in you in the restaurant. You'll know them by their fruits. Hey, everybody's got your Bible. Turn one more time to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I want you to see this. This is pretty good stuff here. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians 5, verse 16 says this, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I like that, verse 16. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he lists the manifestations of the flesh. He says, now the doings, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified, the practices of the flesh are clear, they're obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, which is ill temper, selfishness, division, dissensions, party spirit, faction, sect with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice these things as a lifestyle. Now what's that? Because it's very important for us to see that. That if we practice it, if it's a lifestyle. Wow. And I want you to see something here that's very important. There's no such thing as big sin and little sin. We've got this idea that there's a big sin, there's a little sin. That what I just read to you is pretty strong stuff. Okay? And the Bible says that those that live this, it's an habitual lifestyle. They practice it. I've checked it out. I've searched it out. I've read every way that you can read it. And the Bible says that these that live this lifestyle, that practice this thing, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know what other way to look at that other than the fact is, if this is a practice, if this is your lifestyle, you will go to hell. I'm sorry, but that's just what the book reads. Amen? But wait a minute now. Wait a minute. There's no such thing as big sin and little sin. From some way, I don't know what we've done in the body of Christ. We put sin on a totem pole. We got the big sins and we got the little bitty ones. Hello? But in the Word of God, there's no such thing as big sin and little sin. No such thing. You know, it's amazing that the way we judge people. You know, if a girl, young lady gets pregnant out of wedlock, and, you know, the mark that she has to carry around for at least 9 months is the pregnancy itself. And we judge, you know, there's, you know, she had look at her, you know, because she has to carry around that baby in her womb, and you know, belly gets bigger and bigger, and we judge her because of that, because she made a mistake. She's like one young lady said. She told me one time, Brother David, I only had sex one time, and I got pregnant. Surprise! I'm glad I said, well, darling, it only takes one time. Hello. But I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't it be something if other sins were judged as harshly as a young lady getting pregnant? Wouldn't it be great if gossipers, God just give them a big fat tongue? Then when they walk in the church, what's wrong? Well, they've been, God punished them. They gossip last week and God punished them. I'm going to never gossip again. I promise that. I just thought of that this afternoon. I was just thinking of that. That'd be kind of neat. You know, but I'm looking at this, that this is a lifestyle. It's just a lifestyle. See, when you become a Christian, He changes your lifestyle. Now, I don't mean we don't mess up. Now, I've been a Christian all these years. I've made a mistake once or twice. Just once or twice. But it's not a lifestyle. You got to see that. And this is what the Word of God says, that these are people that it's a lifestyle. It's an habitual practice with them. But then He goes on down to say, but the fruit of the Spirit. How is the world going to know that you and I belong to Him? Jesus said you will know them by their fruits. Now watch this. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness. The word goodness there comes from the Greek word agathosune, which means a benevolent or generous giver. Isn't that amazing that one of the fruits of the Spirit is a benevolent spirit or a giver? Wow, that never thought that was in there until I read that one day. And then he says faithfulness, gentleness, and the word gentleness means meekness or humility. In other words, one who is not caught up in their own press clippings. One who has that spirit of humility, self-control, restraint. Against such things there is no law. And you know, growing up in church, there's these fruits of the Spirit that and you've heard it many times, but I saw a lot of gifts in the church I grew up, but I didn't see a lot of fruit. And I couldn't understand something. I said, wait a minute, now something ain't right. Here's a guy speaking in tongues one minute and goes outside the church the next minute and want to slap his brother upside the head. And I didn't understand that growing up. And I said, wait a minute, something, you know, how are we, I want to make an impact on the world. I want to make an impact on people's lives, young people and adults. I want to make an impact on people's lives. And how am I going to do that? And Jesus said, you do it by the fruit. Not by your gifts, but by your fruit. And you got to get this into your spirit tonight. Jesus said, that world out there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, will know that you belong to Him by the fruit you produce. Not by the way you sing in the spirit or prophesy or anything else. He said, they're going to know that you belong to Me by your fruit. And I just gave to you the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, you know, all that. That right there, when you've got that, that right there is what's going to impact the world. Especially right now in this day and time. See, and you've got to get this into your spirit that a lot of charismatic Pentecostal people in churches, we are mesmerized by gifts. Don't be mesmerized by gifts. Thank God for the gifts. Man, I never belittle the precious gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are awesome. I believe in them. There are times when God moves me into those gifts and it's pretty awesome. But don't you ever be mesmerized or, wow, by gifts. Amen? You got to look at the fruit. What's the fruit? I want to see the fruit. Amen? Speak in tongues, okay. But when I get outside the church, I got to have love toward my fellow man. Hey, and not only that, I got to have the joy of the Lord. My face can't look like my neck threw up. That's really going to win the world out there, huh? Because I've had parents come up to me and say, Brother David, pray for my children. They'll get what I got. And I said, have you ever thought they may not want what you got? I mean, anything that makes your face look like something the dogs dug up and the cats wouldn't have. Hey, man, I don't want that. That's going to really impact that world out there. All those young people that are with MTV generation and all of this. And you walk up to them and say, hey, you know, come on to our church. And by the time you get through with us, man, you'll look just like we do. Praise God. You know, man, you're going to touch that generation with that? Come on, baby. That's crazy. Amen. That's not going to touch them. But the real joy of the Lord is what's going to touch them. Amen. Love, joy, peace. Hallelujah. Man, I mean, when you get this stuff manifesting in your heart, and you say, Lord, I want to make an impact on somebody's life. I got to. I'm driven. I am motivated by this. I got to touch somebody's life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and find nobody up there that I didn't have an opportunity to get somebody up there. I want some people up there that comes up to me and said, David, thank you. Thank, huh? What about you? What about you, man? I mean, I want somebody in heaven when I get up there that thank God I had an impact in their life. And that's one of the main reasons why they're there is because they looked at me and they saw fruit and not gifts. They saw somebody that literally practiced what they preached. Now, am I perfect? No. In fact, last night we was at Bob Renee's restaurant and we were sitting there talking about when I was snow skiing and out in Lake Tahoe and this snowboarder from hell hit me in the back a few years ago. I wasn't as spiritual as I am now. I'm a very spiritual person now. Because, man, he hit me in the back, knocked me for a loop. And, man, then began to cuss me out. Well, man, I lost it. I forgot I was a preacher. I forgot I was saved. If I got out, I filled the Holy Ghost. At that moment, I felt like a reprobate, an infidel, a heathen, whatever you want to call me. But I took off my gloves and I said, come on, you and me, you and me. Man, I was ready to go to Fifth City with him. You know, somebody said, my God, I cannot believe. Oh, you self-righteous heathen. You know, don't tell me you ain't never wanted to pop somebody too. Don't tell me some of you wives hadn't wanted to implant your husband's facial features on your frying pan. Don't tell me that. Tell me your husband hadn't wanted to rip out your wife's tonsil and tie them around her throat for a bow tie. Hey, it happens to all of us. See, this is what I'm talking about being real. Because when you start preaching like that, people say, I just can't believe here's a preacher telling me that he was going to knock a snowboarder out. Bless his heart. Well, after I did, I'd pray for him in the name of Jesus and ask God to heal the teeth that I just took out. Hey, there. Listen, there's just sometimes we all lose it. Hello? Come on. Amen. I was at a church in a meeting and one thing, of course, Angie knows this is the way I am. I can't stand to be late. This is just one of my little pet peeves I got. I can't stand to be late. And when I'm late, my inside does this, you know, it just draws up, you know. And one night I was going to church and man, some of those times when you are late, things will pop up to make you even later. Now, the Bible says there are familiar spirits. I think there are devils that are familiar, knowing that I'm late, to try to make me later. And one thing I found out, red lights are from hell when you are late. I think some of them, I don't know if the devil can possess an inanimate object, but I think sometimes they're possessed. So I'm on my way to church. I'm in the middle of nowhere in this red light. And so I stop and man, I'm getting antsy and I'm sitting there and I'm late and man, I'm going nuts. I'm sitting there and man, I'm just going nuts. And the light stays red. And it stays red. And it stays red. It ain't supposed to stay red that long. So finally, I begin to look. Because the Bible says where there's no law, there's no transgression. I was looking for the law, Bob. I didn't see him, so I ran that sucker. He was hiding behind the guard, the station there. And as I'm seeing the lights. He comes and pulls me over, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just, I can't believe this. So he walks up to me to ask me, and I said, well, I'm on my way. I'm in a hurry to get to church. And he said, why? I said, I'm a preacher. And he said, I ought to give you two tickets. One for being running the red light and another one for being a preacher and knowing better. And I'm sitting there trying to be calm and say, well, God bless you and thank you, sir, for obeying, being an officer of the law. So he hands me the tickets and I take off slowly and watch him do the U-turn and I speed up. And I'm going down the hill trying to get to the church. And I got to be a half a mile away. And I see a car at the stop sign way down the road. And I'm going, no. Let me go on through because I'm a preacher. I'm on my way to church to preach the gospel. Don't pull out in front of me. No. But as I get right on them, he pulls out in front of me. How dare him do that? And that was another time I lost it. So I just start honking the horn. And I'm honking horn, and then I'm flashing the lights because now I'm mad. Flashing the lights, honking the horn because he's doing 30 miles an hour in a 55-mile zone. I'm late for church. And man, I'm just doing this because I've just lost it. We get right up to the church, and he pulls in the parking lot. I keep right on going down the road. I don't stop. I'm booging right on down the road. Get on down there to 7-Eleven. Get me some Coke and some peanuts and sit out there in the car, you know, hoping that he didn't recognize the evangelist that was there to preach the gospel. I'm sitting there in the parking lot and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spanks me. And man, I'm sitting there and I start feeling lower than a worm. I'm going, what if that was somebody that they had invited to come hear you preach? Maybe not even a Christian. I don't know, you know. To this day, I don't know who it was because I went past him quick. And I'm sitting there and boy, all of a sudden, I find myself start crying. And I said, Lord, I repent. I didn't act right. That was not right of me. And please forgive me. And, you know, and I'm sitting there bawling and squalling. Finally, I feel like, well, probably the people now are parked inside the church, so it's safe to go back. And I get back to the church and I go in to Pastor Me. He said, where you been? I told him. And I told him the story, and he started laughing. I said, man, it ain't funny. Right now, I feel lower than a worm. And he said, who was it? I said, I don't know. And I said, I just hope to God that in the rearview mirror, I blinded them, and they didn't see the bald-headed preacher in the behind them, you know. And I said, you know, I wasn't a good witness. I'm just being real with you. Wasn't a good witness at all. And I said, Lord, I repent of that. And I've tried, you know, hey, Kay, I've got to have the fruit of self-control. Now, just be honest with you. There's once in a while I still lose it. Don't lose it a lot, but once in a while I do. Because, you know, I looked at my hands the other day. I didn't see any nail scars there. Because there was only one perfect one, and that was Jesus. But I do believe we grow in this thing. And a lot of things, and I've learned that a lot of things that used to bother me don't bother me so much anymore. Now, snowboarders, well, but anyway, we're working on that issue. But I just said, I want to be a witness to the world out there. And I repented and I prayed and thank God, God forgave me and it's forgiven. I still look back at that time. And I said, Lord, Boy, did I mess up a number of years ago on that area. And I've been trying to be pretty good about that because more than anything, I want to impact the world. So several years ago, I'm in a meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, and the pastor and his wife take me out to eat after service. And we go out to, let's see, we don't use the word pig out. You know, you don't, Christians, we fellowship. That was the word I was using. We don't say, let's go pig out after church. We go fellowship. And we don't gossip, we share. And some of you will get that later and it'll bless you. But anyway, we went out to eat after the service. And I'm sitting there and we're talking and we're laughing and just like we did last night. And just having fun and talking, you know, different stuff. And just having a good time, laughing. And are you aware that when you feel like somebody's staring at you? You just feel it. I mean, and I'm sitting there and we're talking and in the restaurant, there's a number of people in there, but I just felt somebody's eyes was on us. And I kept looking around and all of a sudden I saw an elderly couple. I would imagine they was probably in mid 60s, close to 70. They were staring at us. And so you don't want to be obvious and stare back at them, you know, cause, you know, I'm cool. See me? I'm one cool dude. So I take the menu and open up the menu and you know, just read them. Never so often do that because I am super cool. Well, they stare at me the whole time. And man, then I take my handkerchief out and go, and because I don't want to be conspicuous, you know. And they're staring at us the whole time. And this went on, honestly, for about 45 minutes. And after a while, they get up and walk out. But as they walk out, they walk toward our table. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking with the pastor and his wife and having a good time. And we're just laughing. And this elderly gentleman looks at me. And he says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And in all my life, I've been in this thing all my life, the greatest compliment that's ever been given to me in my entire life. He looked at me and he said, "You wear God well." Wow. Man, I'm going to tell you, friend, that's the greatest compliment anybody's ever given. I don't care less about the preaching or anything else, funny or whatever. You wear God well. I have never, ever, ever forgotten that. That wherever we are, let's show Christ. Wear God well. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits, not their gifts. And if we're going to impact the world out there, we've got to manifest the fruit today. And like I said this morning, it's a great time in the world to get people saved, folks. It's the worst of times, but it's the best time for the church. And people just need to know Jesus. They just need to see Jesus in us. Because it's one thing to have Jesus in here. That's very easy to do that. But it's another thing outside the church. And you see, I feel like within my spirit, and Brother Kenny and I have been talking about it, because there's something happening right now. I don't know what's happening in Baton Rouge right now, but in Georgia right now, there is a breaking going on. It's like a revival that's about to explode. I'm seeing a hunger for God that I haven't seen in many years. I mean, a real thirst for God, a hunger for God. And this past Wednesday night, I preached at our church. And all I can tell you is the glory of God fell. It was one of the most awesome presence that I have felt in many, many years. And I'm hungry for that. I want to move a God. I want to see people saved. I want to see people's lives touched. I want to see people restored, renewed, marriages healed, relationships that have been strained and hurt healed. Because that's what God's all about. And I believe with all my heart something is about to break. And I hope it breaks in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It'd be great if it broke loose here in Baton Rouge before it broke loose in Georgia. I don't know where it's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you there's another wave of the presence of God that's about to explode on the scene. And God's going to use some people that maybe the world's never even heard of. Churches that the world's never heard of. That's going to give Him the glory and honor Him as who He is. And it's not going to take any glory for themselves. And it's all going to be about character, not personality and not charisma. Because you cannot be moved by that, folks. You got to be moved by the fruit. Amen? And for us to show the world what Jesus is really all about. Because there is something out there. There's a deep void in so many people's lives that something is missing. And you and I have found that part that is missing through Jesus Christ. They don't know it yet, but they're going to. And let's show forth the fruit. I want them to see what Jesus is all about. That this is what He really is all about. He's not about the gifts, and that's a part of it, but He's about the fruit. And that the world out there will know that we are His disciples by the way that we act and love one another. Amen. Praise God. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you for being here. And I pray in Jesus' name, this simple little word on a Sunday night just ministers to you that you will know them by their fruits, not their gifts. You look at the fruit. You watch the fruit. And praise God, let's manifest the fruit as Christians. Amen. Hey, wouldn't that be a novel idea if we really acted like Christians? Wouldn't that be great? The world out there sees what we're all about. Just look at us and see Jesus. And see Jesus in us. See how we handle the pressures and the stress of life. And let me tell you something. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to do what I've been doing. It's all because of Him. Amen. Praise God. Just take somebody by the hand tonight. Maybe you might have to reach across the aisle. I don't want anybody not having somebody's hand. Just take somebody by the hand. Father, thank You for our time together tonight. Thank You, Father, for this church, this house. Thank You for Pastor Terry and Brother Kenny. And Lord, thank You for their hard work and their labor. Lord, ministering, being visionaries and being shepherds and leading this people. Lord, I thank You for their ministry. I thank You for the years of labor that they put into this house and the fruit that is coming forth. Father, I thank You that there is a great awakening that is on the horizon. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that You are about to shake the world with the army of God. Lord, You're calling into service the soldiers, men and women and young people, Lord, that are going to march forward in the power of the fruit of the Spirit. And the world out there is going to see what You are really all about. Lord, they have seen so much. They have seen so much fussing and fighting and tearing one another down and writing dirty books about each other and Lord, just scathing articles in magazines. And Lord, they have always, they've heard the bad. But now, Father, in Jesus' name, there is an army that You are putting together in this day. In this age of deception that are going forward in the power of the fruit of the Spirit, loving one another. Living with one another in the spirit of godliness and meekness, Lord. And just elevating Jesus Christ to His rightful place as the head of all things. And Jesus, today we give You glory. And we give You honor that You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's not through us, it's through Your name. Lord, it's through Your name that miracles take place, and it's through Your name that exploits are done. But it's because of You, Jesus. We're just vessels used for Your honor and for Your glory. And I thank You today, Father, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, little by little, are starting to get their act together. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that today in America, that You will tear down the walls of denominationalism, that You will tear down the walls of prejudice, that You will tear down all the walls that we have constructed among ourselves. And Lord, that there will be one united body of Christ, one church, Lord, that is marching forward, Lord, and tearing down the gates of hell and lifting up the name name of Jesus. And Lord, loving one another. And Jesus, you said this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you love one another. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take the word tonight. Burn it into our hearts, into our memory. Lord, that we will not forget. Lord, and that in this age of deception, we prophesy tonight, we will not be deceived, because we will not be moved by gifts. We will be moved by the fruit of the Spirit. And Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would touch every person here. Minister to them. Bless them. And Lord, may you cause your face to shine upon them this week. May you bring somebody into their life this week, Lord, that they can witness to, minister to, and Lord, give a ray of hope to. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that we are blessed of God. And we declare today that we are the head and not the tail. We are from above. We're not from beneath. You cause your favor to shine upon our countenance, and we are blessed going out, and we are blessed coming in, and we declare that we are the blessed of God, and we say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Can we give him a clap offering tonight? Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Kenny, thank you.